If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Gardy, who wears the infidel tag proudly and is a proud traditional American, one of those considered a traitor by the Obama nation, by the way. You are listening to hour one of the show, where we will try to let you know what is going on with this nation and the things we need to continue to do to save this great republic from being totally destroyed by Obama and his minions. And now, heard through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio, here is your host, Robert Garding.
I've got myself a new earpiece this week after a couple of weeks ago. The little dog in my house decided he was going to chew on it and destroyed it. So last week and I think the week before, I did my show with my phone stuck to my head with a set of earphones, and it was rather hot. But hopefully this week my voice comes through good and clear, and it sounds okay, because I had to get a really cheap one. But that's neither here nor there. Last Sunday, after my show, Tom, the other author on my blog, wrote this one titled, "I Have a Nightmare." You want something sobering as to what Obama is doing to our nation? Listen to this one. This is going to be a post with several parts. Sit back with your favorite beverage and sit between the lines. Do not to do otherwise could present a choking hazard. This past week marked the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech. Oh, how far this nation, his dream, has fallen. While I did not watch the speeches, what I saw of the speeches was anything but uplifting. In fact, it was more of the same inflammatory speech-making that placed the blame on everything else, despite the facts that the black community itself is destructing. How can I make such a statement? I will finish after this. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama and the left wish they could stop but can't. And you all know me by now. I'm your humble host, giving you the show that you are here every Saturday afternoon for, Robert Garding. We are glad you are all here, and stay tuned for more. Before that little break, I asked that question, how can I make such a statement? Bill O'Reilly, Walter Williams, William Soule, and Ben Carson all point out statistics that show the black community owns their problems, external from other groups. Walter Williams had these comments. The poverty rate among blacks is 36%. Most black poverty is found in female-headed households. The poverty rate among black married couples has been in the single digits since 1994 and is at about 8% today. The black illegitimacy rate is at 75%, and in some cities it's 90%. But if that's a legacy of slavery, it must have skipped several generations, because in the 1940s, unwed births hovered around 14%. Along with the decline of the black family comes the antisocial behavior manifested by high crime rates. Each year, roughly 7,000 blacks are murdered. Now, remember, this was written by Walter Williams, who himself is black, and I listen to quite regularly on the Rush Limbaugh show. And he goes on to say, 94% of the time the murderer, out of the 7,000 blacks that are murdered, 94% of the time the murderer is another black person. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, between 76 and 2011, there were 279,384 black murder victims. Using the 94% figure means that 262,621 were murdered by other blacks. Though blacks are 13% of the nation's population, they account for more than 50% of the homicide victims. Nationally, the black homicide victimization rate is 6 times that of whites, and in some cities, it's 22 times that of whites. This is far from the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King, where he wanted all people to stand on their own 2 feet. From the post, Equal Diversity, government-sponsored quotas and regulations will not change people's attitudes towards diversity. All these will do is promote division, dissension, and resentment. I have noticed in recent years an increase in these attitudes. This is not what Martin Luther King had in mind. His vision looked for the Negro people to stand side by side with the white people as equals and to get there by self-sufficiency, not by a government mandate. He wanted his people to rise up to their potential, to stand on their own 2 feet, not by some law or subsidy. Patronage of the Negro was not his vision. But to join the human race as equals to any other ethnic group, to enjoy the fruits of hard labor through equal opportunity and not through quotas. It is truly a travesty that his own people have hindered this vision instead of completing it. One of the other things that I noticed during the speeches was an undercurrent of asking for increased governmental support in resolving the black community's problems. Government cannot solve the black community's problems, or anyone else's for that matter. Only they can, if led by leaders like Dr. King. I watched President Obama's speech yesterday, and that was during this time, concerning the potential involvement of the United States into the Syria conflict, and this has kind of become a serious debacle and circus, really. A few of his statements lit me up like a Christmas tree. Let's take the following statement. He said, by having made my decision, and this is Obama now, as Commander-in-Chief, based on what I am convinced is our national security interest, I am also mindful that I'm the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. I've long believed that our power is rooted not just in our military might, but in our example as a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And that's why I've made the second decision. I will seek authorization for the use of force from the American people's representatives in Congress. First off, the United States is not a constitutional democracy. It is a constitutional republic. Though the politicians have turned it into a democracy, for a short essay on the difference, there was a link where Rick Santilli had this explanation. He said, the difference is, in a republic, the sovereignty rests with every individual person. With a democracy, it rests with a group. And this is a big distinction, because we elect leaders to represent us. So when they go to Washington, they are there for a reason. The president doesn't hold all the cards. The cards are evenly split up. Second, it is not President Obama's decision to seek authorization, but it is his constitutional duty to ask for authorization. Now, perhaps I'm taking this statement out of context, but the way the speech was constructed, he made it sound like it was his choice to ask for congressional approval, not his duty. But his statement further down the line makes me think it's the former and not the latter. He said, yet while I believe I have the authority to carry out this military action without specific congressional authorization, I know that the country will be stronger if we take this course and our actions will be even more effective. The only reason for a president to take military action is if there is a clear and present danger to the United States. Syria does not present such a threat. In fact, their conflict would more likely be termed a civil war. Another statement, I'm confident in the case our government has made without waiting for UN inspectors. I'm comfortable going forward without the approval of a United Nations Security Council that so far has been completely paralyzed and unwilling to hold Assad accountable. As a consequence, many people have advised against taking this decision to Congress, and undoubtedly they were impacted by what we saw happen in the United Kingdom this week when the parliament of our closest ally failed to pass a resolution with a similar goal, even as the prime minister supported taking action. And hello, everybody who's out there. Without UN approval, is he totally ignorant of the international law? As of this time, only France, and this was written earlier this week, fairly early this week, as of this time, only France has stated that they would support Obama's action. And I'll have more on that one later. And that doesn't fill me with warm, fuzzy feelings either. In fact, it fills me with dread. After President Obama finished his speech, he turned around and walked away. From his body language, I would say he was angry, and I would say that he was angry because he cannot do what he wants to do, which is cover his butt for making the idiotic red line declaration and appearing weak to the rest of the world. I personally think that the reason he was 45 minutes late for his own speech is that someone was on the phone with him advising him not to act on his own in taking military action in Syria without congressional approval and a hasty rewrite of the speech he wanted to give. The Powell Doctrine states that before military action is taken, does the action meet the following criteria? Is it a vital national security interest threat? Is a vital national security interest threatened? Is there a clear attainable objective? Have the risks and costs been fully and frankly analyzed? Have all other nonviolent policy means been exhausted? Is there a plausible exit strategy to avoid endless entanglements? Have the consequences of our actions been fully considered? Is the action supported by the American people? And does the United States have a genuine broad international support? The Syrian crisis meets none of the above criteria. Congress should follow the United Kingdom's example and refuse authorization. If President Obama orders military action after said refusal, then President Obama should be impeached and removed from office. The more time that goes by only highlights the disaster that Obamacare is. The unintended consequences are just piling up, and financial fallout for everyone will be horrendous. Let's consider the following scenario, which I know will happen thanks to my wife for the following. And this is also part of this post. He jumped into this one. He said, a person working for a small company, when the company reduces the person's hours to under 30 to avoid paying for employee health care because the company cannot afford it under Obamacare legislation, the fine is cheaper than paying for the workers' coverage. And this is something I said last week, too. He goes on to say the person cannot afford paying for coverage out of pocket because the high cost of coverage and the loss of an income due to reduced hours. The person must take a second job to make ends meet instead of working just 40 hours a week on one job, must now work another 10 to 30 hours a week to meet the bills. The cost of health care coverage is still too high, even with the second job, so the person pays a fine out of the paycheck from the second job. The result is the person is working two jobs, doesn't spend any time with their family, pays a fine to the government, probably still cannot make ends meet, and still doesn't have health care coverage. So tell me again, what's the advantage of Obamacare? To me, my friends, this post shows some of the immediate things that Obama is doing that is not according to the founding of this nation or the Constitution. And we have elected into the highest land office in the land, not just once, but twice. Are we nuts? We have to stop looking at things in a politically correct climate, because according to life, nothing is really politically correct. And to me, that is just a comment that is just there just to cover someone's rear end about it. There's nothing more to be said about that one. Conservative Nation Radio has become Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. And the call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176. You now know that conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
From Minutemen News comes this one titled, Town Hall Erupts. Why haven't you filed to impeach Obama yet? Congressman Michael Burgess is questioned by a young man at a town hall meeting who offers the question to, all of us are asking. What's it going to take for you to file articles of impeachment? I'm a college student just months away from getting my undergraduate degree. I, like almost everyone here, am deeply concerned about the mess and dysfunction of this government, especially with this administration. Both times this president took his oath of office, he swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He goes on to say, literally, he has not done so. He's broken his oath of office. President Obama has committed dozens of impeachable offenses, and there was a big bunch of applause there. He says, you, Congressman Burgess, you have also sworn, and I quote, to support, defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to faithfully discharge the duties of the office. In my hand, I have a list of offenses President Obama has committed for you or for anyone else to see. I've got the audio on this, and it's kind of hard to hear, but I just read you what the man says.
Deeply concerned about the medicine function of this government, especially this administration, is leaving my generation, my children's generation, and probably their kids' generation as well.
I can't even understand it myself, so I'm just going to replay it. But essentially, I just read you what that guy said. We are watching now more than we have in a long, long time, and things like what happened at this town hall meeting are erupting all over this nation. But not only here, folks, not only where this happened, this was in Illinois, I think. I have noticed things that I'm sure a lot of us have noticed too, or maybe in your busy lives you haven't, which brings us to the reason for the shows like this one. Did you notice, I saw this on CNN in the summit talks that happened this last week, something unusual happened, and I had to smile at this one. But before going on to that the representative essentially said on that he wasn't going to file for the articles of impeachment because he doesn't see any proof that Obama has done anything that warrants this. Well, I guess he's just been asleep at the wheel, because I think almost everybody can see this. But at the CNN thing, CNN, which is a station that is always on at my new job in the cafeteria, was bemoaning the fact that being an American president these days is a lonely, lonely job. Their words, quote, "It's lonely at the top," unquote, for President Obama. At the summit this week, while everyone was going to social dinners and meals with everyone else, President Obama, and I just had to stifle a sob there, ate alone. And they emphasized this. They said, yes, folks, he ate alone. It's lonely at the top. Maybe the reason that he ate alone is because our allies and the people at the summit don't agree with any of his policies either. And they realize just what a fake he really is. How he really is one of the worst unleaders in American history, and there's no pleasing this man because he isn't getting what he wants. As a leader, you must be a narcissist, like I saw in the chat room a while back, but you have to be a narcissist. And to hold your job. But Obama takes that trait to a new level that before hasn't been reached. Some got close, but no one has ever gone to this level so far. Maybe the rarefied air in that level is making Obama's brain get a lot addled there. I don't know, but he sure doesn't know what he is doing. The American people are starting to realize this, too, and a lot of his followers have fallen by the wayside in disappointment because he hasn't delivered and the economy still sucks, no matter what they try to tell us. We know the difference between a vibrant economy and one that sucks. In a vibrant economy, we wouldn't have a high unemployment rate being lowered by people giving up and ending their searches for a job because there just isn't any out there. Case in point, for 9 months, from November of last year to the end of August, I was out of work, and I spent most of my time looking for jobs, trying to get interviews. Nothing would happen, and I got a phone call from someone named Ghost Politics 3.
Good. What's going on?
Welcome to.
Can you hear me?
Much. How are you? Yes,
can
I
you hear me,
can.
Sir? Yeah,
yes,
I just
I
wanted
can.
To talk to you briefly about. Are you familiar with the EBT system?
Yes, I am.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you and talk. I've just been listening to your show, and I'm finding it very entertaining and very informative. I mean, congratulations to you for finding this for Blog Talk Radio form. I wanted to talk to you about apparently how I mean, you've heard rumors about the government trying to get more people dependent on welfare?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they are allowing recipients of EBT transfer cards, because apparently there is still stigma surrounded to using EBT for some people. They're allowing them to redesign their EBT cards so it just looks like a regular credit card. You know, they can choose the picture they want and put it on it, you know, et cetera. So it just looks like a regular credit card.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah, I know. I mean, as of last Wednesday, my EBT card has your avatar on it. So, you know, when I swipe, I know exactly who to thank, you know?
Yep. That's actually something that I found that in somewhere in the news this week, and I'm not really sure where I found it. I look at the Blaze a lot, and I'm not really sure if that's where I saw it, but I did see that, and, you know, something to make using food stamps not quite so much of a stigma so that it looks like you're actually using your own credit card, I guess, is one way to do it.
But I am using my own credit card. It's just with your money.
Yeah. That's essentially the way it is.
Don't worry. I'll save a ribeye steak for you on the first of the month. We always have a cookout then.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're always welcome to join us. I mean, you're paying.
Of course. Well, thank you for that. But I was talking here about the high unemployment rate, and the problem with it is that the government's idea of what the unemployment rate is so lost when it comes to what it really is. I think unemployment is much different than what the government records tell us, because once you stop looking for work and you're not on the EBT, you know, food stamps, then you're not even on the list. For the 90% of the time that I was out of work, I wasn't even listed as unemployed because I wasn't on food stamps. I wasn't on unemployment. Unemployment was denied to me. But I, you know, like I said, I hear it on the news, and yes, folks, I listen to a lot more than just the big three uninformed CBS, NBC, and ABC. I get a lot of my news from Breitbart, Blaze, Fox News, and, of course, the Blogosphere. I get the news that the big three plus CNN and MSNBC and others will not touch, and that's one of the big reasons for this show. And it really gives all of us a reason to fight for America, because we're being sold down the tubes. There is not too much that America cannot take, but we're getting to that point where we can't take much more. If you think about everything that has been done to this country over the last century, that would have destroyed lesser countries. But we do have to start watching out for that, because if we don't, America will be the next casualty, and I know I don't want that at all. We will be right back. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even years to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7/365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Maybe anti-war demonstrators are unemployed, back home and getting on their parents' health insurance policies. Or maybe they've all decided to watch President Obama talk hip-hop on MTV rather than care anymore about premeditated wars without Congress or international coalitions. Or maybe they don't want to be reminded of the global test that then-Senator Kerry spoke about in the 2004 campaign. Or maybe they don't want to hear that we are starting wars that we can't afford. Or maybe they just can't believe that the men who told them that they wanted to hear what they wanted to hear in 2007 and 8 would go rogue. We do not know, or we do know that the anti-war left is mute and out of business now, and that Hope and Change is the one starting wars. The silence or indifference is that Obama is a liberal Democrat, as Keith Wagstaff points out. He says, part of the reason, the study says, is that the Democrat politicians in the Bush era found it politically useful to co-opt the anti-war movement for votes. That all changed after Obama was elected. Ultimately, the study suggests the anti-war rallies of 2003 weren't just about Iraq. They were also a way to register disapproval with the Bush administration. Now, even with most Americans wary of military intervention in Syria, the Democrats who marched a decade ago are mostly staying home. Unquote. Yes, we saw that in the 2003 marches. We saw placards about same-sex marriage, the living wage, anti-Israel slogans, she pictures, etc. Most of the placards had nothing to do with war. Did you see any placards at the demonstration saying that Hillary Clinton and John Kerry voted for the war? or that President Clinton had bombed Iraq four times over WMDs. The left has been exposed. It was always about Bush and not war. The trouble is the left has been exposed, all right, but not to them. They are none the wiser and not any smarter either. They still do not know that their actions have exposed them as the hypocrites that they have always been. And sadly, the same can be said for the followers of the phony president that we have residing in the White House now. And yes, folks, I said phony because he is just that. He is no leader. He has no concept of leading, only community organizing. And he is taking that to a national level now, which is actually kind of scary. But all of these things that I just read out, if you look back when Bush was president, all these people were saying, oh, Bush is trying to get us into a war that we don't want. Bush is doing this. Bush is doing that. It's Bush's war. And they didn't bring up the fact that people like John Kerry and others had voted for the war when it first started. And if you remember, we had those slogans out, you know, Kerry voted for the war before he voted against it. And we've got pretty much the same thing going on with Obama. He is a divider. There is nothing uniting about him except that the people that he's alienating away from the United States are kind of gathering together because they have nowhere else to stand. They're suddenly people who are against the country they live in, which pretty much makes them people without a country. And so they essentially have to stand alone now, don't they? But the anti-war rallies of 2003, I remember them. And everybody in the media and on the left kept trying to tell everybody that these were all about Iraq and that there was nothing more about them. They were all about Iraq and how we shouldn't be there, and the only part of it that was really had any truth to it was the fact that they kept saying that Bush should have never gotten us in there. Well, Bush didn't. Bush eventually is the one who pulled the handle on that and started it, but it wasn't without congressional approval. It wasn't without the Democrats' approval and the Republicans' approval. We have to remember this was after 9/11, and the whole country was pretty much united then. And of course, that didn't take long to completely change. And I actually was really kind of surprised that we stayed united on that one for as long as we did. It wasn't very long, granted. But, you know, it really wasn't about the war. You know, it was about Bush. They hated Bush. That was their main reason for being at that point in time. The war didn't bother them too much. They just used it as the catalyst for what they were trying to do. Their whole thing came because they hated Bush, and that was the big thing. And, you know, Bush was, there were a lot of things about Bush that I didn't agree with either. You know, so don't be thinking that I was completely following Bush and wanting him to be our president and everything else. He was our president. And the things he did at the time were, in his mind, for the country's best interest. But the difference between Bush and Obama is the fact that Bush at least had in his mind that what he was doing was good for the country and for, you know, what he thought needed to be done. Obama, on the other hand, is doing just what he wants to do. It doesn't matter what is good for the country. He don't care. He just wants to do what he wants to do. And because he's president and because we elected him a second time, he feels he has the mandate to do everything he wants to do. And there is the difference between Bush and Obama. We have to stop electing people because of the color of their skin or because of something that they happen to say at one point or another. We have to start looking at what these people stand for, looking into what they are meaning when they say these things, and stop going with what is on the surface. The, you know, the surface of what they, what the Democrat says is always kind of like squishy and feel good and great for everyone. And we cannot continue doing this because it's destroying this nation. And, of course, that's just my opinion, but I don't think I'm the only one out here who has that opinion. The summer of 2013 is over, at least in the unofficial sense. But at conservativenationmedia.com, it is now official. We're all coming to you live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, every weekday. But have no fear, you can still download our podcast to your heart's content at conservativenationmedia.com anytime and anywhere, even on your mobile phone. And don't forget to check out our new shows, Second Amendment Forum with Max Roberts, Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith, and American by Design with Bing Fisher. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure to join us every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Fourth grade students in Illinois are learning that government is like a nation's family. And yeah, you heard me right on that one. And the reasoning of this is because it sets rules and takes care of needs such as health care and education. Well, that's not what government's really supposed to do, but that's what they're doing now. But this is what, where this came from was from a worksheet for social studies homework that was distributed to students at East Prairie School in Skokie, Illinois, complete with a drawing of Uncle Sam cradling a baby that represents the citizens. The students are then prompted to answer 10 questions comparing government and families, including how their family provides for their health care needs and how the government does the same and what rules families set and what rules government sets. The worksheet is titled, What is Government? And then goes on to answer that question. It says, government is all of the agencies, departments, organizations, groups, individuals in a nation who make, carry out, enforce, and manage conflicts about rules and laws. And that's what the worksheet says. Then here's the questions. It goes on here. It says, government is like a nation's family. Families taking care of children, make sure they are safe, healthy, and educated, and free to enjoy life. Families encourage children to be independent, hardworking, and responsible. It continues, families make and enforce rules and give appropriate punishments when the rules are broken. Government does these things for its citizens, too. Here are the questions. A concerned parent forwarded the homework assignment to the Blaze, and the worksheet asks these following questions. One, how does your family keep you safe? Two, how does the government keep its citizens safe? Three, how does your family keep you healthy? Four, how does the government keep its citizens healthy? Five, how does your family help you learn and become educated? Six, how does the government help its citizens learn and become educated? Seven, what kind of rules does your family have for you? Eight, What kind of rules does the government have for its citizens? 9. How does your family punish you when you break the laws? And 10. How does government punish citizens who break the law? All I can say to this is talk about indoctrination. My reaction to this was to slap myself on the forehead and moan in dismay. This article was from The Blaze, and it was something that we all need to start worrying about, folks. As my kids go to a public school, and me and my wife are constantly looking at what they're bringing home to see just what they're being taught. They don't even know what my 13-year-old the other day, I asked her what the capital of Indiana was. She didn't know. I knew that when I was 6, and I didn't even live in Indiana. We'll be right back after these messages. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through conservativenationmedia.com, the network that Obama would love to stop at camp. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. Yes, we are having fun now, aren't we?
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices. Use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Hump, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to my loo, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From Newsbusters.com came this one, that is a happy one for a gun rights advocate. Here's what deliciously happened at the MAIG rally. You remember, that's Mayors Against Illegal Guns, as reported by Jim Heath at 10TV.com. The rally for gun background checks quickly becomes a pro-gun event. It was a rally organized by gun control supporters, but by the end, it looked more like an NRA rally. As a gun owner, I am a responsible person, and I think it's responsible to ask to have all gun owners have a background check, said Blanche Luzik, I guess, L-U-C-Z-Y-K. It's just common sense. Any responsible person who is willing to take the ownership of a gun should be willing to have that background check. Lusick was one of half a dozen members of the group Mayors Against Illegal Guns, who hosted the rally in the Arena District on Friday. At about 50 gun rights supporters were on hand, some with rifles over their shoulders, others with handguns and hip holsters. Charlie Roberts said he was there to make sure that gun rights advocates had their voices heard. "I want to show my support for the NRA, gun rights, and the Second Amendment," he said. Roberts, "we need to go after the criminals who commit crimes with guns, not the honest, law-abiding citizens. We don't need any new laws, just enforce the ones that are already in the books." And this is something that I have said for, well, I can't remember how long now. I've been doing my show since 2007. I've been saying it since then. But it goes on to say there's no reason for Mayors Against Illegal Guns to be in Ohio, said Linda Walker of the Buckeye Firearms Foundation. "Ohioans stand up for our constitutional rights, and that's the way it's going to be." After Lucic addressed the crowd to some jeers and boos, Walker, with the crowd on her side, replaced her as the speaker. "People are fired up, are concerned," said Walker. "It's overwhelming this many people show up on a Friday afternoon because our constitutional rights are that important." As I noted at a previous post about poor attendance of OFA and MAIG events, one cannot help but conclude that there is little to no meaningful passion for President Obama's or Mayor Bloomberg's pet causes at the grassroots. The national press is avoiding letting that reality become generally visible. From all appearances, ignoring Friday's events, the Columbus Dispatch participated in that visible avoidance effort. "Even with things like this happening, folks, the gun control crowd will keep right on trying to take our guns away, no matter what we say, until we vote all those politicians out of office to follow them and help them. Then the fight will continue, but we will win this war. And make no mistake, my friends, this is a war. It's a war for our constitutional republic. And Obama, this is a constitutional republic, not a constitutional democracy. Get that straight for once. And it is a war for our constitution. And it is a war for our freedoms and our liberties and our families' lives. This is a war that we have to win if we want to have our republic still intact for the future of our children." And yes, I used the big C word there, something that Democrats always try to use. "But we have to realize the things that gun control advocates never seem to get. When you buy a gun, you get registered as a gun owner. The government already has your information, and the people who do this legally and abide by the law will follow the law. Criminals, on the other hand, are the ones that need to start focusing on here. When they get a gun, 9 times out of 10, nobody knows it until the wrong thing happens, okay? And that is where the left and these gun control advocates just do not get. People who are law-abiding, go ahead and fill out the paperwork they have to fill out when they buy a gun. They are already registered with the government as a gun owner. It's the criminals who don't. And they would have guns no matter what the laws say and will continue to use those said guns in the commission of their crimes. It isn't the law-abiding citizens. But if the left is pushing, the time will come when the law-abiding citizens will push back. And I think that time is coming. I really do. I think it's coming pretty fast myself. I know that my dad had guns in the house. I've got one right at the moment. And the government knows they're there. They've been registered. The government knows that we have them. My brother got all of my dad's guns. The government knows that he has them. So it's really something that just totally befuddles me that all these people who are for taking all of our guns away don't seem to get the fact that we do not break the law for the most part when we have our guns, if we're a law-abiding citizen. But the ones who have the guns that don't apply for the gun permits and things like that, who don't want to have a job because they feel that stealing is better, or someone who decides that they hate this person because they did him wrong, so they're going to go out and kill him. These are the people who will use guns in an unlawful way, no matter what the law says. And it amazes me that the government and the left and all these people who are for taking our guns away cannot get this. It amazes me that when they are told this, it just kind of goes right over the top of their head like they're too short to catch it or something. And in the chat room, somebody mentioned a permit to carry concealed weapons. That a lot of states don't allow that. I know that here in Indiana they do. And I myself would have been considering going after a permit for that. But, you know, if I do that, then the government's got all my information anyway. So gun control really is not needed. I know if I go after a concealed carry permit, the government will know what I do. They know where I'm at. They know what my phone number is. They know why I want that gun. So, to me, gun control just is not something that is needed. But the left just doesn't realize the folly of their ways. And I don't think they ever will. And that one other person in there in the chat room who says he's a Hoosier too. And it's always nice to know that there are some Hoosiers who will listen to this show. And I know that, you know, most people who listen to this show pretty much feel the same way as I do, except for a few who come in to push another agenda, if they can do it. We will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media. Please stay tuned for the second hour of the show, coming right up after these important messages.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up?
just like that.
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right. Which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Garding.
In the new movie out now called The Butler, which is loosely based on the life of Eugene Allen, an African-American who worked as a butler in the White House under 8 presidents and resigned during Reagan's tenure. Allen's character is named Cecil Gaines in the movie. But in an article from Newsmax magazine came this one titled, Four Historians Take on the Butler's Racist Depiction of Reagan. It says, first off, the portraying of Nancy Reagan by the traitor Jane Fonda to me was disgusting, but to Hollywood, that was the normal way to do things. The article says this about the show. Four Ronald Reagan historians have slammed the portrayal of former Reagan, President Reagan, in the movie The Butler, saying that the 40th president's attitudes towards race, as shown in the movie, are inaccurate. They begin the article, What the Butler Gets Wrong About Ronald Reagan and Race, published in the Washington Post, by recounting instances in Reagan's life when he decried racism and took a stand for the African-American community. You are listening to the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Conservative Nation Media. We're serious about conservatism here in that and America. You can access us at conservativenationmedia.com and also conservativenationradio.org. And you can email me at robert@conservativenationradio.com. Welcome to the show on this fine day of September the 7th, 2013. I don't think I said that in the first hour. The number to call into the show is 718-305-7176. And now, on with the show. Back to the story that I was talking about a few moments ago on the four Reagan historians that disagree with the Butler movie when it comes to Ronald Reagan. The article started out with the things that Ronald Reagan's life that would not be done by a racist, as the film portrays Reagan as. And the troubling part of this is so many people see what comes out of Hollywood as the truth and historically accurate when nothing could be further from the truth. While serving as president of the Screen Actors Guild, for example, Ronald Reagan called upon the entertainment industry to provide greater employment for black actors. That position was controversial at the time. When giving his infamous Evil Empire speech in March 1983 against the Soviet Union, Reagan also attacked the resurgence of some hate groups preaching bigotry and prejudice in America.
These examples came after the historians recounted the time when young Reagan brought two African-American football teammates home from college to spend the night with his family. That is hardly the sense of Reagan that one gets from the Lee Daniels film, the historians explain. The four historians who have more than a dozen Reagan biographies between them are Stephen F. Hayward, whose books include The Age of Reagan, Paul Kengor, author of 2007's The Crusader, Craig Shirley, who wrote last year's Rendezvous with Destiny and the 2005 book Reagan's Revolution, and Kieran K. Skinner, who has compiled several books on Reagan's life, including Reagan's Path to Victory. They say they are concerned by the movie's portrayal of Reagan's attitude towards race. We are especially concerned, they said, because many Americans readily accept Hollywood's depiction of history as factual. The Butler is loosely based on the life of Eugene Allen, an African-American who worked as a butler in the White House under eight presidents and resigned during Reagan's tenure. Allen's character named Cecil Gaines is named Cecil Gaines in the movie. The quartet of historians are mainly concerned about two instances they say are inaccurately portrayed in the movie, which has topped the box office ratings for the last several weeks. The first is when Gaines, played by Forrest Whitaker, is given a personal invitation to attend a state dinner, but he is seen feeling very uncomfortable because, quote, he feels he's being used as a political tool to prop a token African-American, unquote. It is not long after this that he resigns from his position at the White House because of supposed humiliation at the event. However, the Religious News Service said Allen was especially fond of the Reagans, and a fellow member of Allen's church said that the butler often talked about how nice they were to him. The historians point out, while it is true that Allen left his position during the Reagan presidency, but it was on good terms, and he received a sweet note from the president and a hug from the first lady. Other instances take place when Reagan promises to veto any sanctions against South Africa. The Republican congresswoman meeting with him pleads with him over the matter, saying it is the right thing to do, and congressional Republicans are in agreement. The supposed reason for Reagan's refusal to support sanctions against a racist government is that he is, quote, apparently unsympathetic to black suffering, unquote. This was in the movie. While accurate in depicting Reagan's opposition to the sanctions against South America, the butler does not explain why he opposed them, the historians wrote. Reagan saw sanctions as harmful to the poorest of South Africans, millions of blacks living in dire poverty. He also feared that the apartheid regime could be replaced by a Marxist government allied with the Soviet Union and Cuba, and the communism would spread throughout that continent. South African blacks were denied rights under apartheid, but communism would mean no freedom of speech, press, assembly, religion, conscience, and emigration, travel, or even property for anyone, the historians explained. Moreover, in communist countries such as Cambodia and Ethiopia, people have been slaughtered and starved on mass scales. He didn't want South Africa to undergo the same catastrophe, they added. They explained that Reagan had a policy of constructive engagement in which he was trying to keep South Africa and the anti-Soviet category in the anti-Soviet category while encouraging the country toward black majority rule. They cite a speech he gave to the United Nations on September 24, 1984, in which he said that it was a moral imperative that South Africa's racial policies evolve peacefully but decisively towards justice, liberty, and human dignity. The historians explain that one of Reagan's successes was the Angola-Namibia agreement, which led to the withdrawal of the white South African regime from Namibia and paved the way for nation's independence. The butler, they argue, does not address any of these complexities. It is not the first time that Reagan is unfairly portrayed as a racist, they say, but the historical record paints a different picture. films like The Butler can be a good place to address our racial past, but not if they are filled with inaccuracies. This came from Newsmax.com on Monday, September the 2nd. Now, I agree with this assessment of the movie. This is how our culture got so screwed up in the first place. Culture being determined by Hollywood's lies on subjects of historical significance in the name of artistic license. There is no artistic license to this, folks, except to deceive the public into believing something that wasn't true in the first place while pushing it as historically factual. And too many people believe this Bill's crap that Hollywood spews out almost daily. It is a well-known fact that we will never change Washington until we change our culture. And right now, culture is being determined by Hollywood and the liberals in Washington and music and other things. Though I have to admit, we are getting better about pushing back and putting some culture back into our culture lately. But what we as citizens of this great constitutional republic have to do, folks, is stop patronizing Hollywood and their lies and start pushing for conservative values as in movies and music. I mean, have you even stopped for a few moments to listen to some of the music our children think is great? Have you stopped to watch the things our children watch on TV lately? If you have, you would be appalled at some of the liberal, sexist, and downright wrong things that are being passed off to them in the name of indoctrination of our kids. And here is something else, folks, that this indoctrination is getting us. Forgetting history. Do you realize that we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11 in just a few days? Have you heard anything about it? I know I haven't. I've just heard a couple of things. One was on a conservative talk show here in Indianapolis. And the sad part about this, folks, is it only happened like 12 years ago. And we are already not talking about it. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay tuned with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, and since we're making some big changes, and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And folks, we now win by having 4 hours of Conservative Nation Media Radio every Sunday. Isn't that great? Always thought that it would be neat to have two shows a night. And it looks like we're finally starting to head that direction now. You're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It's kind of late summer here in Indiana, and this year we have had few hot days. It seems like every one of them that we've had has been on Saturday when I'm out here in my studio with no air conditioning, but the weather this year has absolutely been gorgeous compared to last year, really. We have had the rain to keep everything green, even though now we're hearing from a lot of the weather people that we need rain because things are turning brown. But that is part of this time of year, I think. And I wanted to reiterate that the call-in number is 718-305-7176. We'll be back in a few minutes after these messages.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
LibertyAlliance.com comes this one, entitled, George Washington Was an Extremist? So it comes to this. These people, these Obamanistas, these fundamentally transform America thieves, spit on the Constitution daily, they mock American values, they rule by fiat, but according to them, freedom-minded Americans who identify with the Founding Fathers and subscribe to the truths and the ways of our founding documents, we are the extremists and the haters. And I saw several of this kind of thing in some of the stuff I was looking at this week, but the article goes on to say, now they've gone too far. Now they tell us that unacceptable, dangerous extremists include George Washington, John Adams, James Madison, and Benjamin Franklin. Are you starting to wonder where this is going to stop yet? This bunch of Democrats has for generations thwarted the will of the Americans and undermined the plain meaning of the Constitution through unjust court decisions. They pitted groups of Americans against each other for the sake of their own power. With the consent of no one, they've chased any semblance of Christianity or even morals out of the public arena, foisted homosexual special rights upon America, bit by bit, regulated the freedom out of our daily lives, made a mockery of the rule of law, applied civil rights only to special favored classes, and spent us over a financial cliff. More recently, under the reign of the Obamanistas, they've accelerated the demise of the American way. They ignore court rulings. They ignore the duty of the executive branch to faithfully execute the duly enacted laws of the land. Instead, they write their own laws and enforce nothing else. They kowtow to Islam. They fund and support in both Libya and Syria, the very terrorists who attacked us on 9/11. They declare the producer the enemy while they take his money, hand it out to their own constituents, and tell them what a rotten, hateful bum he is, and that he never deserved anything he worked for anyway. But we are the extremists, the haters, according to them. The haters? Seriously? You ever listen to one boring Obama speech? Ever spend 2 minutes listening to the mouth breathers at MSNBC, NAACP, Code Pink? Funny, what does and does not qualify as hate for these people, now that oppressing conservatives is official government policy, and you have to see the NSA, IRS, EPA, and Infinitum, it's no surprise that now it's in official Department of Defense training manuals. This lovely document came to our attention thanks to the tireless work of our friends at Judicial Watch. It's a training manual called, and this is a quote here, AFSS-0910, Equal Opportunity and Treatment Incidences, and that's shortened to EOTI. Yeah, whatever that is supposed to mean. Here are some nuggets from a section titled Extremist Ideologies, and this you people will love this one. In U.S. history, there are many examples of extremist ideologies and movements. The colonists who sought to free themselves from British rule and Confederate states who sought to secede from the northern states are just two examples. How nice to lump in the founding fathers with the slave-holding Confederacy in the same sentence. Later, nowadays, instead of dressing in sheets or publicly espousing hate messages, many extremists will talk of individual liberties, states' rights, and how to make a world a better place. Again, individual liberties is just code for the KKK. Apparently, that whole dissent thing is a problem. Airball in chief. This is not the first DHS internal document named. Those who love individual liberty as extreme right-wing fanatics. This is not a paraphrase. FEMA and various law enforcement organs commonly use training scenarios in which the target group is some imagined conservative or right-wing. Boy, I must have washed my tongue last night. Right-wing fanatical group, but curiously, not Muslim terrorists, Occupy types, union thugs, or other known violent groups. Apparently, groups known for repression and silencing free speech are common travelers, and therefore not a threat to what the leftists in charge want to do with their power. Those interested in those self-evident freedoms mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, not so much. Okay, then, I'm an extremist. Well, then, if George Washington is an extremist, and if loving freedom and small government is extremist, then count me in. A famous and much maligned man once said, I would remind you, that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. The man in the same speech said something else, and I think we should give it a very careful look. Those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth. And let me remind you, they are the very ones who always create the most hellish tyrannies. Absolute power does corrupt, and those who seek it must be suspect and must be opposed. Their mistaken course stems from false notions of equality, ladies and gentlemen. Equality, rightly understood as our founding fathers understood it, leads to liberty and to the emancipation of creative differences. Wrongly understood, as it has been so tragically in our time, it leads first to conformity, then to despotism. Yeah, that pretty much says it there, folks. We are looking at what the Democrats and the liberal left hope
is the end of America. They think that everything that I say or everything that a conservative says or everything that Rush Limbaugh says or Sean Hannity or any of us, if we're even just slightly off center to the right, we're a terrorist. Which is one of the reasons why when I announced my show at the beginning, I call myself an infidel, because I am a proud infidel that believes in the Constitution and believes in what this nation stands for and believes in her laws, even though the people that we have sadly elected to government in the highest places don't believe any of that. And it makes me sad. It really does. A lot of us try to go about living our lives and try to ignore what is going on in Washington. But and for many, many years, we were able to do this because the left wasn't so brazen in their attempt to destroy us. The left wasn't so full of animosity towards everyone who believes in this great republic as they are now. And I saw in the chat room somebody asked if I would rather be called a terrorist or a comrade. Actually, I would rather be called neither one. A patriot, now that is what I'd like to be called. But that is something that a lot of great men have been, and I feel my dad was one of them. But we have to stop and think about what the left is doing to this country, and some on the right too, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. So I am not leaving the right out either, because there's a lot on the right who are doing exactly the same thing, kowtowing to everything that is being pushed in our direction. But at least we have a few. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann. There are those out there who are fighting to save this great republic. And I have to say this again, Obama, this is not a constitutional democracy. You're the president, you should know better. We are a constitutional republic. We have been since the beginning. And actually right now we are more a democracy than we have ever been before. And that is a scary concept, if you know the meanings of the two words. But the sad part about it is, even in some of the conservative circles that I listen to, I hear America being described as a democracy. And she is not, never has been. But if we keep going the way we are, we will be. And that is not a good thing. It's like I said before, a republic is ruled by the people. It has individual mandate of the people. The people are in charge. The people in Washington are the representatives. Democracy is ruled by group. And how many groups can we name that are not ruling the right way? Pink, for one. We will be right back after these important messages. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative.
you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the community, the country, and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to these essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. And Conservative Nation Media is one word in that. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democrat of Florida, on Monday said there are dozens of countries ready to support U.S. intervention in Syria. She just can't say who. And her quote was, "There are dozens of countries who are going to stand with the United States who will engage with us on military action and also that back us 100%. And she said that during an interview on CNN. The thing that was interesting was the response of Wolf Blitzer, who was the person that she was being interviewed by. She was pressed for specifics, and Wasserman Schultz said the information is classified. Asked whether the support would come in the form of military or diplomatic action, Congresswoman said it would be a combination of the two. The important thing we need is we need military and moral leadership here, she said. Wasserman Schultz also said she believes Congress will ultimately sign off on the president's call to action in Syria. She said, President Obama and I think the Congress will make a very strong signal that this conduct, murdering your own people mercilessly, is unacceptable, she said. At least here, the media reporter tried to get some answers out of her, but all in vain. And I've got an audio of that. She is with Wolf Blitzer, and he's the one asking the questions, which was kind of surprising, but he has some good ones here.
And they ask you, Congressman, why is it the United States always that has to get involved militarily? Other countries may be cheering on the U.S. from the sidelines, but it's always U.S. military men and women, U.S. firepower that are called upon to do a job like this. Why can't other countries do it?
Well, there are other countries. I mean, we have, and from the briefings that I've received, there are dozens of countries who are going to stand with the United States, who will engage with us on military action and also that back us up.
Which countries? So which countries will use their military power to attack targets inside Syria?
And that's honestly something, Wolf, I'm not at liberty to say. I mean, some of what I've learned is classified, some is unclassified. But what I can tell you is that there are many nations who have committed to support the United States in our action.
Militarily.
And that's going to be important.
And you're saying militarily,
yes.
Not just politically or vocally, but militarily,
yes.
They will support the United States. They will go in with their F-16s, their own missiles, their firepower, and target sites in Syria?
In both military and diplomatic and political support, there are dozens of nations who have committed to back us up. That's what I'm at liberty to say.
I know dozens maybe they may be supporting us, but I'll be anxious to see which ones actually get involved militarily if the president gives that execute order in the weeks to come. We got to leave it there.
The important thing is that we need military and moral leadership here, and that's part of the United States' responsibility. And President Obama and I think the Congress will make a very strong signal that this conduct, murdering your own people mercilessly, is unacceptable.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, also the chair of the DNC. Thanks very much.
Actually, upon listening to that audio again, I can only just shake my head in dismay that they can get away with such a lie, and the media would flock to it like it was the gospel of Jesus Christ himself. I had a phone call a few minutes ago during the that audio, if they would call back. I wasn't able to answer at that point in time, if they'll call back. I do have to hand it to Wolf Blitzer for the questions that he hit Ms. Schultz with, and several of them seemed to leave her without much to say, and you can see her in the video trying to figure out just what to say in answer to some of his questions, especially the one where he asked which countries will use their military power to attack targets inside Syria. She had troubles answering this one, and when he continued with not just politically or vocally, but militarily, will they go in with their F-16s, their own missiles, their own firepower, and target sites in Syria? The silence after that question was like a lifetime, though it wasn't long at all. But in the video, you can see her gathering her thoughts like, he wasn't supposed to ask me that. And then she hemmed and hawed around the question and really didn't even answer it. She looked like a caged animal who knew she had been caught with her paw in the food. And it seems that the Democrats cover their huge butts with lies that they cannot conform in any way except to say there are dozens of countries ready to support U.S. intervention in Syria, but I can't tell you who they are. Maybe the reason is that they don't exist. After all, folks, the other day it was in the news, and I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, that only France was backing us, and what a scary thought there. The woman actually named a country, though, in there, and I didn't get to listen far enough into that to hear it, but and I couldn't find the audio, but it was something like Dinkistan or something like that. The point here, folks, is when we hear something on the news from our liar-in-chief or from Jay Carney or from any of those idiots on Capitol Hill about something they say we know is patently untrue, we need to start calling them out on it.
I am getting another phone call, but it's one of those 111 numbers, and I will not answer those, I'm sorry, unless I know who they are, and usually they're trolls, and only trying to disrupt a show that they don't agree with, but we need to start calling them on these. Their phone numbers are given out all the time. Find them and call them on it. The lying won't stop until we get totally involved, because right now we are like the bosses who haven't stayed in tune with what our employees are doing, and they are totally out of control. Until we put our foot down and tell them that their jobs are on the line if we don't see any improvement in their job doing, in their jobs, and that we are watching, things won't change. Employees will always comply or get fired. That is the correlation to what I just said. And the people we have in Washington, simple. We are their bosses. And we have been letting them get away with murder for so long now that they, our employees, are totally out of control. They think they're in charge. They think that it is beneath their dignity to take a pay cut when, you know, I think most of them are making more than almost anybody in who even listens to a show like this one. But taking a pay cut for them is beneath their dignity. And that must be pretty low, because a lot of them have such low dignity that it just would be amazing to see if it go any lower. But control has to be retaken, and that's a complete period, folks. And now there comes a time when good things have to give way to great things. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing like a Texas Longhorn, which is why Michael B. Smith now has his own show. Check out Soldier of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. But don't be worried. He's the same Michael B. that you've come to know and love, and you'll hear even more great interviews and awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Earlier this week, President Barack Obama reframed his red line rhetoric in regards to Syria and the use of chemical weapons, saying that the world, not him, set a red line. Conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh on Thursday expressed his disbelief at the claim, which he called psychopathic. According to the online Merriam-Webster dictionary, psychopathic is defined as of relating to or characterized by psychopathy, or antisocial personality disorder. Limbaugh is not alone in his confusion over the statement. Obama last year clearly stated that Syria would cross a red line that would change my equation, and those are quotes, change my equation, if he used chemical weapons on his own people. This is some pathic psychopathic, Limbaugh said. He drew the red line when he said he didn't. Then he said his credibility isn't on the line. It's Congress's fault, because they're the ones who passed a resolution decades ago against the use of chemical weapons. Oh, yeah. It's the Republicans' fault, isn't it? The conservative radio host went on to say that President Obama's handling of Syria and the so-called red line is dangerous and not cool. It's not brilliant politics. It's not Obama cleverly outwitting his opponents, he added. He's president of the United States. He's just not up to it. He doesn't want the job. He doesn't want the responsibility, not with something like this. He'll be glad to raise your taxes and control your life with health care, but he doesn't want all of this. It's too messy, unquote. But we also have
something else from Rush now that kind of caught my fancy. He has now put out, he has written another book. He has put out a new children's book that teaches history as it was, and it is all documented if you look for it, and telling the story of America, the Pilgrims, why they were, what they were, how they did it, and why. And from Rush Limbaugh comes this about it. Says, the book is a way of teaching what isn't being taught. We live in an amazing free country founded by people with unwavering spirit and determination to triumph regardless of the hardships and obstacles they faced. Obama recently said, exceptional Americans are few and far between. Quite the opposite. Starting from early days of people like William Bradford, this country is made up of exceptional people, rags to riches stories, that made it with hard work, determination, a little luck, and God's grace. And this does one thing to the liberals. It makes them sick. A quote taken from a tweet from CNN anchorette Carol Costello, who was aghast at the history. Well, we all know that anything that shows what America really is sickening to the left. She first tweeted, hey kids, Rush Limbaugh wrote a book. That's for you. Seriously? And then a little later she tweeted, I'm a little sick now. Oh, really, Carol? You sick because America's history isn't what you and the left want it to be? We will be right back. You are listening to the new Wise Conservatism radio show on Blog Talk Radio through the new and revamped Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't because we are growing by leaps and bounds. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones such as the Android, iPhone, and others, so you can download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. Same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Getting your child home safely.
Cap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travel.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay.
I hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend.
Sometime during my show, I asked you if I had heard, I asked if you had heard anything from the mainstream media about anything about the coming 12th anniversary of the terrorist attack in New York City on 9/11/2001, and I mentioned that I hadn't. Well, you are hearing it here today, the reason I played the last bumper song by Daryl Worley, with a song he wrote shortly after the horrible event that the left and the media are trying hard to make us forget. I won't forget, and I hope that you won't, do not either. We have to remember our past, or we will be doomed to repeat it. And finally, today we have from FlashDaily.com this excellent article, and I could just stop at the title, for it almost says it all. The title is Hurtling Towards Stupid in Syria. This one is also about the red line that Obama refuses to take credit for. Sitting at work today, I heard our so-called president telling everyone that he didn't draw the red line. Everyone else did. And I, sitting at a table with a bunch of black people, spoke out saying, he didn't draw the red line. He sure as hell did some weeks ago. Rush confirmed it this week, and so did this article, Hurtling Towards Stupid. Once again, this president behaves as if the American people are complete idiots. In his mind, we are such fools we'll believe anything. After all, we elected the clown twice. Perhaps he is right. In any case, now he would have us believe he never drew a red line in Syria. The rest of the world drew that red line. Shooting missiles at Syria is not an act of war, regardless of what Congress says. He has the power to strike and will do so. His credibility is not on the line, but the credibility of Congress is on the line. Invasion is not an option, but may be necessary. Entering a conflict like this in support of jihad without a plan and without any idea of consequences is the right thing to do. Well, okay then. As far as Obama is concerned, everybody just sit down, shut up, and submit. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Obama, it's a fool's errand, and you are just a fool to run it. If we had been sober about Syria 3 years ago, we would have done the following. Secured agreements with Putin about how to avoid civil war, stabilize the situation and save lives for the sake of stability in the region, prepare a serious plan in the UN to confront Assad with criminal charges once he started slaughtering civilians by any means, forming coalitions with everyone, including the Arab League, to preempt the slaughter of innocents instead of waiting until 100,000 died, staged massive aid for refugees in cooperation with Jordan and Turkey, with allies, all covert means to halt the spread of jihad in Syria and elsewhere, presumably a shared goal with the Russians, at least in as many sectors. Instead, Obama has dithered, set the Arab world on fire, failed in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and made Libya an al-Qaeda training camp. Jihad is advancing, and U.S. is seen as a giant, ineffective clown by the rest of the world. Yes, but we're the idiots, Mr. President. Valerie, have they stopped talking about Benghazi and the IRS, Fast and Furious, Egypt, and NASA? I can answer that question for Valerie. Of course. They stopped talking about those scandals? That is part of Obama's plan now, isn't it? We now have a show every day of the week with the new show starting on September 5th, which was this last Thursday. So our lineup is now Sunday nights we have Soldier of Patriotism with Michael B. Smith with his own show now, and also on Sundays, starting at 6 p.m., right after Soldier of Patriotism, is our new show where Uncle Bean Fisher has his show, American by Design, at 6 p.m. Eastern. So now we have two shows on Sunday, making it 4 hours instead of just two with our two main men, Michael B. and Uncle Bean. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday nights, we have Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffy. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. On Thursday will be another new show. Is another new show called the Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Give a listen. And on Friday is our very own Chris Manti with the Chris Manti Show, mixing the Word of God with the way we should be doing things here in America. And, of course, yours truly on Saturdays. Until next week, God bless you and work hard to save our great republic. And if you hear any Democrats calling it a democracy, straighten them out. Tell them it's not a democracy, it's a republic. And stay safe, and I'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots.
God bless you all.
Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Good night.